everything from I already had an accommodation, now going to an open office environment, how will that accommodation be altered? I've been told I have to request a new accommodation starting from scratch because of the new environment, laying out in this environment what I'll need. There have been so many concerns from people with visual disabilities, hearing, physical, because depending on the office environment, it can impact all of those different disability types.
So a lot of concerns from employees. Have you been in the position of advising companies or government organizations about how they should manage the move?
Yeah, so how most organizations till up till this point have been managing this environment has really been by looking at how many days in the course of a week an individual spends in the office versus telecommuting, or if they're traveling. A lot of decisions have been made to say, okay, this person travels quite a bit, they're only in the office one quarter of the time, therefore. And not taking into account as part of that what impact that could have on disability. Perhaps people that today don't even require or request an accommodation, but in the new environment may need one. So we've been working with a number of global companies on this issue in terms of, let's take a step back, if it hasn't all been rolled out yet. Let's take a step back and look at the different criteria that we may want to include, not just hours or time spent in the physical office environment, and then how do we roll that out. When it's already been rolled out, then it's a kind of a different component of advice, and it's really doing an analysis of accommodations that are currently being made, who we need to go back out to, why, things like that, what kind of communication we'll need to put out.
Sure. So let's start with the planning phase. When agencies know, because here we're speaking about federal agencies, when they know that they are going to move to open offices, which means little to no partitions between people's workstations, what sort of things should they be thinking about? If not, how often do people telework? What are the other questions they should ask?
Well, so first of all, a company cannot accommodate or consider, a federal contractor or a federal agency cannot accommodate or consider a disability that they don't know about, right? So unless someone has disclosed a particular issue, it is difficult to know how something is going to impact a particular individual. Having said that, what we like to do is look at the general landscape and say, categorically, we know that if people have hearing loss or a significant hearing loss and they need a quiet environment to be able to work, having that open space may not work so well. Looking at the design of the furnishings, that's another piece that's coming up a lot. In the open office environment, the design of the office furnishings are quite different than when you have individual cubicles or offices. And we have to consider what the height is of those workspaces. The telephony is also very different typically. So again, we have to either going into it say, right off the bat, almost like an accessible parking situation, right? So right off the bat, based on the number of employees we have, we're going to create certain environments should people need it, without even first and foremost looking at the individual needs, but just here's what we're going to do across the board. And I'm just going to make this up. If we have 100 employees, we're going to ensure that 10% automatically have spaces that and, meet various tests of accessibility. That would be the first piece of guidance. The second piece would be to do an analysis of the current accommodations and understand, at least from this current accommodation that's being provided, which folks or how many individuals are truly going to be impacted and in what way. And to be proactive, to reach out to those individuals in advance, when we can, advise them of what's coming down the pike, and really go into that interactive dialogue right at the beginning to say, this is what we're assuming that you're going to need based on this new environment. Please, give us some guidance. Is that correct? Is that not correct? Because the challenge we're finding is that federal agencies, companies, they're not asking the questions up front.
Yeah.
And so it's more reactive. And as you know, as soon as you do anything that's reactive, it costs more. There's more havoc. It's not pretty.
We're speaking with Nadine Vogel. She is CEO of Springboard Consulting. People with disabilities, what I've heard is that somebody says, well, my accommodation, for example, if I'm blind and I need an audible reader so that I know the words that are appearing in my computer, is going to be somebody else's distraction. Can you make it work when you have a large number of employees with disabilities that are going to be forced to work in an open environment? They don't have the option of private offices.
Well, I think we have to go back to understand the whole issue of reasonable accommodations, right? And what's reasonable and what's not. And at the end of the day, keep in mind that, you know, when, according to EEOC, we're supposed to ask every candidate, can you perform the essential functions of the job with or without an accommodation? So this really begs the question of, before companies go into this, do they understand what the essential functions of a particular job is or are? One, and then two, what are those accommodations that may be needed? And what I mean by that is that we can have an open office environment, but understanding that the accommodation for someone may need to be something other than that open office environment. We need to understand what's available today, how to get creative, so that we don't undermine the intention of the organization in either practical aspects or even from look and feel, but understand, okay, what is available creatively to us that we can use or utilize to get this individual what they need to be successful in the job. That is, I mean, you know, plainly and simply, that's the law.
How do most companies solve this problem? I mean, do they put people who have disabilities, such as someone who needs an audible aid, in a private office? Is that typically what they do?
Every company is handling this quite differently. Very, very differently. So, you know, it's easy enough if someone needs, you know, audible software to have them have headphones on so nobody else would hear that. Depending on the disability, that may work and be the easy solution. It may not, but it's certainly a solution before you go to a private office environment. We tend to think that jumping to the, you know, I must have a private office because. And it's like anything else with an accommodation. You can request for anything. But we have to really do an analysis to say, well, what is it that we can do to meet your needs? It does not mean it's always the Cadillac version answer.
I think with the federal government, the situation is particularly acute because on one hand, agencies are being told by the White House that they've got to consolidate real estate, and that includes office space. And then on the other hand, they're also being told that they must be the model employer of people with disabilities. People see these two things in conflict.
Right, but see, that's the beauty of it. If they would think out of the box and really have a plan in place, they would realize that they're not in conflict. Will there be situations that will be difficult to resolve? Yes. There will always be some, but you know what? That will be the minority. If they do some of the things that we just talked about, I really believe, just from the clients we've worked with thus far, 80 to even sometimes 90% of the potential issues will be put to rest before the changeover.
And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money.
No, I mean, that's the point, is that when they're hearing folks complain and accommodations and we're going to need this and this, they think, oh my gosh, private offices. No. That's my point. Take a step back and realize that most of the solutions are actually low cost, you know, very simple type solutions that, oh, by the way, some of these people with disabilities are probably using in their own homes.